And in 3, 2, 1. Hello and welcome to another episode of Guide to the Grind. My name is Jeff Eady. This is the show where we cover money, mindset, and momentum. Joining me today, as always, is one of Canada's favorite mortgage brokers, one of my best friends. And JT, I've had a morning. Didn't think of something to call you. So I'm just going to say Jonathan Tilger.
That was something. Wow. I'm phenomenal, Jeff. Thanks. I'm used to a very colorful intro from you. I mean, it's obviously very nice, but not quite as colorful as I'm accustomed to. But always a pleasure being on here. Always a pleasure speaking with you. And especially since we're going to have some fun talking today.
Yeah. Well, as you know, I've had quite the eventful morning with the fire service, so I didn't have a chance to think of my, I guess that would be a simile. Would that be a simile or metaphor? I guess there's no like or as, so it would be a metaphor.
Yeah.
Anyhow, JT, unfortunately, our guest today had to cancel due to compliance issues. Hopefully, we can figure something out and get him in the very near future. But I'm really happy for the opportunity for you and I to discuss something that's been going on in our company and something that you've discovered in the market that's really helping a lot of people. So why don't we start with the ultimate question right now of what is the biggest problem first-time home buyers are having in the market?
Well, really, the biggest thing it comes down to, it's the challenge in qualifying, and it has to do with, for people who do not have 20% down, you're bound by the insurer's guidelines. I mean, the mortgage insurers, most people think of CMHC, but there are a few others. So Genworth. Let's just, yeah, Genworth. Yeah, so in any event, the mortgage insurers, CMHC, they assist people who do not have 20% down payment. The only thing is, in those situations, there are fairly tight guidelines you've got to fall into in terms of the income needs to be, you need a certain amount of income to qualify for a certain size of mortgage. And there really isn't much flexibility with that because you've got what's called the gross debt servicing, which just is the proportion of your mortgage payment to your household income. There's pretty tight guidelines that has to fall within this. And also very tight credit requirements in terms of the score's got to be typically 650 to 680 plus and so forth. So anyone who doesn't fall out of those, if you don't have 20% down, either you can't buy, or you can't buy for something that is sort of a property that will meet your needs. You can buy something smaller, but not something that will meet yours and your family's needs.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk about the qualifying part of that, because I mean, you said a lot there. For you, it seems to all be one thing, and that's just because you have that wonderful, beautiful, big brain of yours and all of that jazz. But for most folks that are trying to get into the market right now, they're coming in with that 5% because that's what they've always been told. You can come in with 5% and get a house. But when you talk about mortgage insurance, there's two types. And this is one thing that always, always messed with me. And it wasn't until I actually had to figure out and use them that I understood the difference between them. You want to talk about just that right off the bat?
Yeah, so let's just do this quickly, because there's different insurance. You obviously have like a life insurance product that can be tied to your mortgage and other things. You've got your home insurance, but the mortgage insurance we're talking about, this is essentially, it's a policy that yourself as a homeowner is buying and paying for if you do not have 20% down. What it does, it allows yourself as a homeowner to buy with less than 20% down, but ultimately what it's doing, it's insuring the mortgage. So that way a lender will say, yes, we don't have the usual security we're looking for. We don't have the 20% down, but because it's backed by the insurer, we're comfortable. We will lend you the balance of the money.
And that insurance benefit goes to the bank. If you miss a payment, they make the payment for you, right?
Exactly.
Benefit, have to pay them back.
Exactly. The benefit to yourself is it allows you to buy with less than 20% down, but ultimately it is to protect the bank or the mortgage lender.
Okay. So that's one type. The other type is the life insurance type, which, hey, if something happens, then your mortgage gets paid off or whatever you set up with that insurer. And that's the one I've had to use.
And obviously there's your home insurance too, which if you're buying a home, that's required. And I mean, typically it's called fire insurance. It covers more than just fire, but essentially it's, should something happen, should the house be damaged, it will cover that expense because you bought the place for $800,000, but there's a, I'll call it $500,000 house on the property. Should fire burn that down, it's going to cost $500,000 to build a new house. And so it that's that part there.
Yeah. So, once you've got this insured mortgage or insurable mortgage, that 5% down, now folks go to the bank. What are they looking at for, like, hey, okay, we've got our 5% down. Say we're looking at a house that's going to be $500,000 and we've got 5% down. So what's that? 25 grand saved up. And they make 50 grand a year, two of them in the house. So they got 100 grand of income combined. What's kind of the rule of thumb when it comes to how much they can afford or will be insured to afford?
Well, right now there's no firm hard rule of thumb. A part of it comes down to what are interest rates doing, because that's going to affect the mortgage payment. But right now, as a rough rule of thumb, it's four times your income is what you're going to qualify for an insured mortgage. That's very, very rough. Obviously, rates go up higher, that number is going to drop. Smaller rates come back down, that number will increase. But as a rough rule of thumb, if you're outside the four, I mean, if you're at 4.5 times, okay, let's look at it. But if you're sitting there, you're trying to buy a place that's like eight times your income, it probably will not work.
So in this case, to be kind of falling just below that threshold, I've got 25K down, but we've got 100K combined income, probably going to qualify for about a $400,000 house. How do they fix that? I just gave you the ultimate setup. Don't screw it up, JT.
So I'm going to start with $100,000 household income. Even is I hate to say it, but $100,000 household income is very difficult to buy anything. And I just mean that because in our current market in Southern Ontario, there's very little available for $500,000. And even with this program with $100,000, this is going to up it a little bit, but won't get them much higher. It will get them higher, but not to the price range, because generally most people are looking at probably $600,000, $700,000 plus for a property, and $100,000 may be tight. So let me go through an actual case, something that I've looked at, and I'll give you actual numbers as opposed to speculative numbers.
Okay, let's do
I
that.
don't want to make something up on the fly and be like way out to lunch, because this is an actual file that I've been looking at for a while, because it's somebody before I found this program was an actual scenario. They've got $150,000 household income. They've got $90,000 available for down payment, closing costs, and so forth. They were looking, I mean, a family, they've got a couple kids. They were looking for something in the 8 to 850 range. Now, with only $90,000 available, that is obviously, that's less than 20% down. So they're dealing high ratio. They're bound by the insurer's guidelines. In that case, there ran the numbers, looked through it many, many times, and with their income down payment and everything else, we were coming out at about a $650,000 max purchase price. And they looked at a few places in the 650 range, but nothing really met their family's needs. I mean, because they're looking in the Toronto area, that looking at sort of a one or one plus den. Where if you've got a couple kids, a one or one plus a one bedroom or one bedroom plus den does not work. So you need something a little bit bigger with a little more space. So they'd been sitting around, nothing really happening for a while. Came across this program and sat down, ran the numbers, sat down with them. So what's happening now? They've got their 90,000. So if we look at 8 to 850, let's call it, they've got 10% down. What this program does, it comes in, puts an additional 10% with them. So they now have 20% for their down payment. How does this change things? Well, we're able to get a 30-year amortization, which means qualify on a lower mortgage payment. We're able to have some flexibility with the qualifying ratios. What does that mean? It just means with the insurers, this percentage of your income is the max it can go towards your mortgage and property taxes. Without the insurers, there's some flexibility. We can go a little bit higher with that, meaning that a lower percentage or a higher percentage of your income can go towards the mortgage and property taxes. Long and short means that those people who before capped at 650, they can now qualify for an 8 to 850 purchase price. So I'd love to say they're out there looking today. They're actually going back, they were going overseas, they're They're going back home. By back home, I mean Canada's their home now, but the country they came from originally for a small vacation. And they said, as soon as they get back, they're going to start the home buying process, looking in the 8 to 850 range. So taking people who were on the fence, who could not buy, getting them into the market, so they can start finding the place that them and their family can live in and own.
Okay. So let's talk about this actual equity assist program. Let's talk about, it's not a new concept. The government came out with a program similar to this a few years ago, did it not?
They had something similar. Two caveats with the government's. One is their maximum purchase price and maximum income allowed for the program, really for our market in Southern Ontario, pretty much negated the entire Southern Ontario market. So it didn't help anybody here. But the other big thing with the government's program is they stipulated that, yes, you can get this additional money to help with your down payment. However, you still have to qualify based on your down payment alone. So even if they got to 20% down, which my understanding was the program wouldn't get you that high, it would take you from 5 to 10% down. But even if they got you there, they were stipulated you still had to qualify as if you had only 5 or 10% down. So you're still bound by the insurer's guidelines. So it didn't do much to help anybody buy more.
Yeah, I was going to say, and was it a loan that you had to pay back, or how did that work for that?
It was similar that they were taking an equity stake in the property. So,
okay.
So I don't want to spend too much time on the government program, because at the end of the day, for our market, not many people use it just for those reasons I went through. But on this particular program, this is not a loan. It is an equity stake in the property, meaning that these guys, so it's an investment group.
A co-investment, right?
Yeah, it's a co-investment in the property, and they are participating in the upside appreciation, or should the property decline in value, they will participate in the loss. So they'll take a loss as well. So it's not a loan where, okay, I've got the mortgage here and this is an additional payment I've got to make on top of that. There's no payment on this. There's nothing due until you either sell the property or put forward basically to buy them out of the, buy the investor out.
So I'm going to bring up an objection that I heard recently when I was doing this. It's actually hilarious because they kind of thought through it as they said it, and they answered their own objection. But the objection that I got was, well, they're going to take the upside of what the homeowner's been paying all these payments for the last 5 years. What would you say back to that?
100% they will. They will take the upside. That's, I mean, let's
not
face
all
it.
Of it, their portion of it.
Their portion of it, yes, which is proportional to the down payment they're putting in.
Mm-hmm.
So let's face it. You've got an investor who's coming in, helping you buy a property, saying that, hey, should the property go up in value, we're going to share in the gain in the property. Okay, well, yeah, you could sit there and say, well, they're taking it, I don't want to do it. Well, what if you can qualify, you don't need this, no problem. But if currently you're just paying rent and you're watching the property that you're renting continue to go up 5-6% year over year, the property that is $700,000 today, where you paid rent for a year, it's now, I don't know, $730,000. The following year, it's now $770,000. The following year, it's now $820,000. And you're seeing this year over year over year. So you can participate in that upside, or where you're sharing it with the person who's helped you buy the property, or you can keep renting and essentially, okay, I've got the money, I can do it now. Now the house that you could buy today for $700,000, 3 years from now, we can actually do it. It's now $850,000. So you've just lost out on $150,000 of appreciation, or if you had to pay half of it, you've lost out on $75,000 that could have been in your pocket today.
That right there, I think, is the most important part. That yes, if you're paying half of that, the investing, they're co-investing, you know, you put in 10%, they put in 10%, 150 grand in equity growth, you get 75 grand because you wouldn't have been able to buy the house before in the first place.
And the other big part, and this is, yes, the house. So first of all, the house is in your name alone. There's no additional name on title. It's not that you're sharing the, it's not on paper, there's an agreement in place, obviously, for this. But as far as the house is your house. You live there, you maintain the house, you make your mortgage payments, pay your property tax, all that stuff there. And because you're making the mortgage payments. Also, the other part, what's the other part that happens? Every mortgage payment you make, it's paying down a part of your mortgage. And so with that, that I'll say principal pay down is back in your pocket as well. So yes, the house is appreciated $150,000. You're splitting that with the investor, but you paid the mortgage down by additional $70,000 over that time period. That $70,000 mortgage payout is in your pocket. You do not share that.
Mm-hmm. And do they, so when it comes to expenses for the home, such as taxes or renovations, do they participate proportionate to their share of the co-investment?
So in terms of your regular, I'll say, mortgage payment, property taxes, those are yours. Renovations, because renovations will increase, well, I shouldn't say will for sure, but the majority of renovations increase the value of the property. So there's an approval process for that. But should you choose to, let's say, redo the kitchen, because generally speaking, a kitchen renovation will increase the value of the property, they will contribute towards those renovation costs. As I said, it's got to be approved, but they'll contribute for approved renovations.
And so they won't pay property taxes. That's on the homeowner.
That's correct.
What about land transfer fees?
They will contribute towards land transfer as well, again, proportional to their ownership stake.
So why wouldn't somebody do this?
Well, the main reason is if you've got the funds and you don't need the program, then this is something that is probably not the solution you're looking for. But it's really geared towards particularly first-time home buyers, but I'll say first-time home buyers, self-employed clients, or someone looking to buy a property over $1 million, and you just don't have the 20% down, so you can't qualify. It's a solution that can help you get in the market and help you buy a property that meets your family's needs today.
Hmm. Sounds like it's a hell of a deal.
It is. There is a lot of upside. Obviously, you want to understand the product fully. You want to make sure. And the one of the things I love is that they go through a pretty extensive process to ensure the clients they're working with, because these are their partners getting into the house.
Mm-hmm.
It's
basically a joint venture.
Exactly. And so they truly look at it. Hey, this is my partner who I'm buying this house with. That's what the investors look at. And so we want to make sure that we've got happy people who want to live in this house, who want to maintain the house, because ultimately them taking better care of the house is better for myself as an investor. So they'll make sure there's got a whole onboarding process to make sure you fully understand, you're fully comfortable with the whole process, a chance to ask any questions you've got. Obviously our team, we're your first point of contact. We'll answer a lot of them, but you will meet the people you're actually, I'll say, going into business with, buying a property with. You will meet them, and they're not some I'll say voiceless, faceless group that you never meet. There is a whole process they go through to make sure to basically meet you and make sure it's comfortable and understood on both ends what's happening, and you 100% know what's going on.
So I mean, to me, this sounds like a modern day solution to the rent-to-own craze that has been over the last several decades. It sounds like just a much more evolved way for people to be able to get into a home. Now, are there geographical restrictions? Can you go all over Canada? Is it just Ontario? How does that work?
Really, right now, they are, I'll say, primarily your GTA area. So these guys are based Southern Ontario.
Mm-hmm.
So looking through their map. So essentially you take kind of Oshawa, a little bit east of Oshawa, across to Burlington, Hamilton, that type of area. Right now they're not currently doing outside of Hamilton, Stoney Creek. They're not doing much south of Lake Ontario. So Niagara region's currently out. That may change in the future. But sort of take that area, you go north, really Barrie, a little bit further north than Barrie. They show as far as Georgian Bay. They will not
do Wellington County. Is that Simcoe County?
Yeah, they'll do up there. But just so you know, if you're looking, it's got to be an owner occupied property. It can't be like a secondary property. Can't be an investment property. It's got to be a place that people are looking to buy to live in themselves.
Mm-hmm.
They're not doing well, septic, that type of stuff. So it's got to be stuff on municipal water. So they're looking for a little more, I'll just call it built up areas, not more remote properties. They will do Kitchener-Waterloo area, Guelph. They will go out as far as London, but most of the areas between, I'll call it Hamilton and London, they're not doing, just kind of London they will do, Hamilton they will do, Kitchener-Waterloo, Guelph, but the areas in between there, no, not currently right now.
All right, so the big question here is, you've got this equity assist program. What kind of bank is going to work with this?
So not many will. I mean, most banks actually will not. So we've got to go. Typically, it's B lenders who are currently backing this program up, saying that we set it up usually for a one-year term. After
the obviously, term, you've done your research to get those banks, right?
Oh, exactly. Yes, yes. I know what's going on. But yeah, usually it's set up for a one-year term with a B lender. Rates are slightly higher, not significantly higher, but slightly higher to get everything set up. Not from the group doing this, but from the actual lender, because it's a B lender. But do a one-year term, and after the 1 year's up, we're able to flip you over to a bank or an A lender and get things at more your prime lending rates.
Great. I think you've answered all my questions, JT. And you know what, just being so excited about this program, it's nice that we had a chance to come on and talk about it, because we've been working on it for about the last 2-3 weeks or so. Brand new to the market, truly. There's not a lot of people that know about it. And I think it's a huge thing out there right now to help people make that leap from renting to buying. I think, you know, you said there are a couple of other groups there that it benefits, but I think those first time home buyers that are scared of the mortgage rates, can't qualify, I think this is a chance for them to get in the market. Because what's the best time to buy real estate, Jonathan?
Well, the best time was always 10 years ago. The second best time is right now.
Exactly.
Now just back what you said about scared about mortgage rates. And I'm just going to comment on this for a second, because I know you talk to a lot of people, well, I want to see what rates are going to do. I want to see what rates are going to do. Right now, because there's a lot of people saying, I want to see what rates are going to do, there may be some deals to be had. You can actually put financing conditions back in right now in certain markets and price points and so forth. So while more people are saying, well, let's see what happens with rates, now's the time to look and potentially jump on a property. Because at the end of the day, yeah, well, I'll wait till rates come back down. Now you're probably buying that same property 20% higher, whereas opposed to buy it today, again, maybe take a higher rate for 1 or 2 years as the rates come down. Guess what? If you've got the property at a 20% discount, when the rates come back down, your payments are going to be lower than the person who's buying it at the 20% premium rate at the lower mortgage rate.
And just as an addendum to that, there are other strategies that you work with that can help people with that even more.
Oh, exactly the case.
I think this is great, JT. I think this is awesome that people now have that opportunity to get in the market, regardless of what rates are doing. Rates are always going to fluctuate. Like you said, you make the money on the buy. You don't make it on the sell. So if you can get something at a reduced rate right now, because houses are sitting on the market longer than they were, you know, any realtor or mortgage agent out there will tell you that it's slower this time now than it was this time last year.
And the other caveat is there is a housing shortage. I mean, the demand for housing is through the roof, and it just has to do with the fact that we've got a lot of people who continue to move to Canada, to call Canada their home. And it is outpacing the rate that places are being built right now. I know the government's trying to put things in to speed that process up. But until they do, there is a housing shortage. So there will not be like huge drops in prices just because the demand is too strong. And yep. Case in point, saying, well, things are going to come down. Things are going to come down. To show how demand is so strong for housing right now, last year at this time, when rates really took the jump, while the real estate in some places, while the prices stagnated or slowed down, rental prices went through the roof. You were seeing 20-30% increase in renting. It just came down to the people who were looking for houses to buy said, well, I still need a place to live. So they're going to rent. And so the demand for rents went through the roof, which tells you there is a shortage of housing.
Absolutely. People need a place to live, period.
Yes.
Although there are some people starting to go to the van life and all that, you know, I find it funny, just as an aside to all of this. Do you remember the skit back in the day with Chris Farley? You could have lived in a van down by the river. And now there's people living in $100,000 vans down by the river. And it's actually somewhat of a desirable lifestyle if you're a YouTuber. Anyhow, find it funny, but that's just kind of a, I guess, a sign of the times that living in a van by the river is actually a decent alternative. Anything you want to leave us with, JT?
You know what? Whether it's this thing, if you're having, whether this is your solution or not, if you're having trouble, you want to get in the housing market, you want to buy a place, you want to buy a place, and you're having a struggle, you've been told, well, the max you can afford is this, but you know what, that won't suit your needs. Let's have a conversation. Let's see what solutions might be out there, because me and my team, we really do a good job of digging in to find different solutions, such as this particular product, to help people get in the market, to help people really find a place that is their home.
Fantastic. Thanks, JT. Thank you for listening. We always appreciate you making this far in the episode here. If you made it this far, give us a like, whatever you're listening on. Share it with your friends. Tell people about it. This is a great program. If you want to get a hold of Jonathan, you can always go to amortgageplan.com to his website, or at jonathan@amortgageplan.com to get a hold of him. And really just find out what the next step might be, because this program is a game changer for a lot of people. And I'm so grateful you found it, JT. And I'm so grateful that people out there are now starting to get a shot at home ownership when they wouldn't have had it just even a few weeks ago. So thanks for what you're doing, buddy. Thank you for listening. Have a fantastic day, and we'll see you soon.